Hello, and welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am so excited that you are joining me today. This is a place where I talk about health and wellness, and I am a registered holistic nutritionist and advanced fertility nutritional advisor, course creator now, podcaster, content creator, and everything under the hat, under the sun that kind of goes with that. This episode is really, really different from what I typically produce. And I'm really excited for you to listen to it. So I actually recorded this in December, and it was at the end of my first trimester, I guess kind of end of my first trimester, just somewhere around there. And I actually haven't listened to it back because I kind of don't want to. I really go into what my experience was like during that first trimester. And it's not necessarily about how to hack it or biohack it or be healthy during it. It's more of this is the reality of it versus expectations and my personal experience. And I kind of walk you through how I felt during the different weeks, what I thought it might be, and how I actually coped with all of it. And yeah, it's quite a vulnerable episode, I would say. So whenever I produce content like this, I typically kind of don't go back to it because I just let it sit and stand by itself and let it go out into the world. And I don't necessarily need to re-listen to it or relive that in full. There's also something called like a vulnerability hangover, where after you share so deeply about things, you feel like the next day you just feel kind of like hungover. And I will probably have that if I listen to this. So I'm good to just like keep it far away from me for now. And maybe I will listen to it again one day in the future. But I do know the gist of what it's about. And I'm just so happy to be able to say that it really did turn around for me post first trimester. So after first trimester, I started to feel better mentally and physically. Second trimester was fabulous and really felt like myself, like had a lot of energy, got a lot done. Oh my gosh, got a lot done in my business and my personal life, and just went like towards everything full force. And so it's completely changed versus how I felt, especially for the second half of my first trimester. So you'll kind of hear my struggles, and I'm really happy I recorded this episode because I really wanted to experience it and tell you about my experiences like real time and not reflect back and be like, oh yeah, I felt like this, but like you're actually going to hear me struggle and hear what it was like before I knew it was going to get better. So it's a dose of reality for anyone who is pregnant, is thinking about getting pregnant, anything like that. Definitely helpful for you to hear. I will also be releasing my second trimester experience and then my third trimester experience. And I will also be releasing episodes that are focused on kind of like hacking and biohacking these different times as well. So those are going to be completely different. Those are going to be structured around healthy habits and like looking back what I wish I did more or what I did do that was like very successful for helping me navigate the different challenges during each trimester. So those will be different episodes. So please stay tuned for those. And then there will also be the conception episode as well. So this is super, super key. Man, I learned so much about this and I cannot wait to kind of explain it to you, walk you through exactly what I did, my timeline of things, how everything happened, how I was tracking my data and myself and got pregnant and all of these things. And it's just very valuable to hear that conception story in so much detail, especially for people who are biohackers or people who are super into optimizing their health. So that is coming as well, but I thought I would throw this one out at you and I think you will enjoy it. Let me know, actually send me a message on Instagram or email if you like this episode. I am just so happy that I took the time to record this back in December. Now it's coming out. Honestly, I wasn't even sure if I was going to publish it because again, when you record something so personal, there's this, it feels so much different uploading it into the world and publishing it versus you know, how to hack your health, like how to, you know, something super basic. So enjoy it and stay tuned for all of my other content that's coming out around this. And shout out to all of the women in my Baby Steps course and community. Thank you for joining. So this Baby Steps course is everything that I learned when I was trying to conceive and even prior to me even trying. It is all of the research out there on how to optimize your health before you have a baby for you and your partner, if applicable. So there is so much you can do to help your eggs be healthier, help your uterus and environment be healthier so that your implantation is more successful. You decrease your chance of miscarriage. You increase your chances of full-term pregnancy, have a healthier baby, healthier birth, all of these things, as well as increasing how healthy you can make sperm. Sperm count, motility, mobility, semen volume, all of these different things. And so when I was going through this myself last year, I was really looking for something that could teach me all of this in one place. And I really found that there was a lack of information out there on it. You know, like maybe there's a book here or there, or like a course here or there, but none of it was as comprehensive as I wanted it to be. And also it wasn't as action focused as well. So the things that were out there were just like explaining how to, or how sperm works and how to make it healthier. But it wasn't like, hey, here's what you should do every single day for a minimum of 3 months in order to optimize your preconception health. I really wanted a protocol and a plan. And so that's when I put Baby Steps together, my Baby Steps 90-day protocol, which is the foundation of my course. So that is open for enrollment right now. I'm actually doing a couple of things. So it is open right now. There are a bunch of women in there, or, you know, couples in there already. You can join right now. And I actually have a limited time offer where I'm offering a one-on-one consultation with the enrollment. So there's two different plans that you can choose from. And if you want the bonus consultation with me, you can do that right now. That will not always be up on the table because obviously I have a baby coming and I will be taking some time off. So until that happens, that is an option and you can enroll in that. And I did that because the Baby Steps course and protocol is fabulous and really helps people conceive and optimize their health. But there are specific things that people have questions about. You know, everyone's kind of coming to it at a different point in their lives, at a different point in their conception journey or their family planning. And so sometimes there are very specific questions that they have, that you have. So it's awesome to sit down and have an hour together online. You can ask me all of your questions. We go through your health, your diet, your lifestyle, your sleep, how your partner is doing, maybe things like that. And we can really get into the nitty gritty that we can't really get into necessarily in the course itself. So that is why that is designed like that, because then we get to hang out and you get to ask me all your questions. I know a bunch of you slide into my DMs and ask me questions, and it's a great starting point. And it's interesting in the last month how many more women I've had reach out to me about fertility and preconception, and even women who are pregnant, which is great. But again, there's only so much that we can kind of talk about when we are in the DMs versus us hopping on a call and like really diving deep into your health. So for example, I had one woman reach out recently with such a good question. So she is, I forget her age, but she's like in her 40s and she froze a few eggs. She froze some eggs a few years ago. And she's been optimizing her health for the last 6 months and not doing my program, not yet. And she was asking me, like, should I use the eggs from a few years ago, or when I wasn't healthy, when I was having, like, you know, smoking and doing all of these other, like, not as healthy habits, versus now where she's been optimizing her health, you know, staying away from substances, eating healthier, doing all of these things, and likely has healthier egg quality. And so I was talking to her about that. And my biggest recommendation was, hey, first of all, do the Baby Steps 90-day plan. Absolutely. so that every single day you are really, really tapped in to doing these healthy habits every day so that you know that your eggs are the best that they can be. And that's what the research shows. And then let's also hop on a call and talk about this deeper because I'd love to be able to support you more. So it's those types of situations where it's very specific to the person who might need more support. And that is what I'm here for right now. These one-on-one consultations will only be offered until June. So if you want to sign up, I really suggest you do so. It's a limited time offer, but it's also limited on how many I can do in total. So if this sounds like something that you want to do, I really recommend it. And baby steps in general is for anybody who is really looking to conceive in the next year. I get asked a lot, like, when should I sign up? When do I start the plan? That type of thing. The answer is always the sooner the better, the earlier the better, because you go through the course, understand it, and then ideally you start your protocol for 90 days, right? And then after the 90 days is when you would actually start to try to conceive. So that's kind of like the ideal. Some people don't do it like that, and that is totally fine. But give yourself the extra time because I do really think it makes a difference. And again, like, it's not just my opinion. This is what the research shows, right? It shows that it takes about 90 days of these healthy habits in order to see a difference in egg quality or in the uterine health or uterus health in general. So that is always what my recommendation is. And you can just find that. It's babystepsmethod.com. It's up and available for you right now. A shout out to Bioptimizers. They are some of the best supplements that I've ever used. And I think I said this on my podcast the other day. You know, I actually get so many questions about what supplements to take. My brother messaged me yesterday morning asking about what magnesium he should take because he works out and he needs a really good one. And I've told him before and I told him again, Bioptimizers is the best one on the market. It has 7 different types of magnesium in it. So it's great for him for muscle soreness from working out or stress right now as he runs his business or life stress or whatever else is going on, anxiety, lack of sleep, those types of things. It is easily the best one and always will be my favorite. I take 2 every single day. And you can use my discount code BIOHACKINGBRITNEY in all capitals, which will get you the most off. And a shout out to Glyconage. So Glyconage is a at-home test that looks at your biological age by looking at your glycans. And this is really interesting and honestly kind of humbling. The first time I did my Glyconage test, I had a very high result, like much higher than my chronological age. And mind you, this was at the height of COVID, and that's kind of who I blamed, but my stress level was definitely higher. Life was so different. You know, we were in lockdown, things like that. And so it was really interesting to do that test during that time. It is a helpful test if you're somebody who is really into longevity and cellular health and trying to understand how you are aging on a cellular level. I love that it's an at-home test, so it makes it super easy. And then once you do the test, you actually sit down with somebody from their team and you go through your results together. So you have somebody interpret your results. It's not just the results being emailed to you and that's that. You actually get to kind of go through it and understand, okay, why is this higher? Why is this lower? What am I doing? So that's Glyconage. A lot of people love them. They are quite popular in the biohacking world. And I actually got to meet their team last year at the biohacking conference, which was really great as well. So you can use my discount code BIOHACKINGBRITNEY in all capitals again. That will give you 10% off. And I will put the link in the show notes and on my website for you so you can easily find it if that is something that you want to get tested. I actually think it's time for me to get tested again, but I know that my biological age will be higher right now during pregnancy. So I will probably wait until postpartum. Maybe 6 months postpartum, maybe a year later. We will see. So enjoy this episode. This is a really special one. Thank you for tuning in and sticking with me so far. I really appreciate it. Feel free to leave a rating or review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts as normal. And I will catch you next week for another episode. Welcome to Biohacking with Brittany. I am so excited to do this episode. This is such a special episode because I am recording this in my first trimester in December. So this will be part of, you know, my mat leave bunch of episodes that will come out. And it's really wild to be sitting here and even doing this and even contemplating having a kid running around / not running around, crying, breastfeeding, sucking the life out of me more. And yeah, I'm just so curious about it. And so this episode is not about biohacking my pregnancy and my tips and recommendations. This episode is solely my experience. And there will be, if not already, other episodes out that are like more about, hey, this is what I did to biohack my first trimester or make myself healthier or how I figured this out. This is what I recommend. Like, this is just my experience so far in order to help those women out there who are in a similar space, who are in maybe the first trimester, or they know someone who is, or maybe they're out of it and they want to hear what other people's experience is like. I know that I have listened to a ton of episodes from people online about being in your first trimester, being pregnant in general. I know that I have watched a bunch of videos and just consumed content to make sure that how I feel is normal and I'm not the only one. And yeah, just kind of to create a bit of a community about it, around it. And so that's what this is. And I really just hope this inspires you and sheds light on what it's actually like to be pregnant. I also am going to be very blunt in this episode because I feel like I wish I heard more people be a bit more honest about things. And that is part of what I'm definitely going to dive into. So today's episode is about first trimester. It's not about conception. That will be its own episode because that was a really crazy situation that happened. And then I will also do a similar episode for trimester two and second trimester and third trimester as well. All right. So let's dive into it. So find out I'm pregnant and, you know, like I said, that's its whole other episode. And I found out very early. So I found out 10 days post ovulation. So that is like, I was like typically 3 weeks, almost 4 weeks pregnant when I found out, which is very, very early days, very early days. And some women only test positive after a missed period. Some women test positive. You know, there's really a range. So my line showed up 10 DPO, days post ovulation. And I was really shocked. And I talked about that in, you know, the conception episode. And after that whole initial reaction and realization, immediately, almost immediately, there was a change in my mental health. And I really want to talk about mental health in this episode because it's so important. And this whole thing is unscripted, by the way. Like, I'm just going off of my experience. And I have some things I want to talk about, but it's very unscripted. So when you find out when you're pregnant that early, or maybe anytime, for me, there was such a sense of anxiety that came right away because your chance of miscarriage is so high in those beginning weeks. So around 3, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, your chances of miscarriage is 25%. And then over as the weeks kind of go on, I think it goes down to 5% at 8 weeks and about, I think it's 1 to 2% at 12 weeks. And then it's almost like, it's not zero. It's never zero. But once second trimester comes, it's, you know, maybe 0 to 1%, 0.5 to 1%. So, you know, when you find out in the beginning, 25% is very high. Like, that's 1 in 4. And so what I found right away before any other symptoms really started showing up was this sense of anxiety. And I remember sleeping, trying to sleep and thinking, am I going to wake up to blood in my sheets? Am I going to go to the bathroom and there's going to be blood on the toilet paper? Like, you go to the bathroom and there's this kind of idea of you're checking every single time. And I have no history of miscarriage at all. But it doesn't mean that that anxiety doesn't come. And I could only imagine and really sympathize with the women out there who have had miscarriages and have then had to, you know, who then get to be pregnant again. And there's that kind of anticipation of, oh, is it going to happen again? And I have friends who've had miscarriages. And around this time, I went to go see my one friend, and she had three miscarriages last year, back to back. And it was at 6 weeks, 7 weeks, and 8 weeks. And then she got pregnant on the fourth round, and she was successful. And so I remember going through week 6, 7, and 8 and being like, it could still happen. It happened to her at this time. And it's really hard because there's not a lot of people you can talk to about it. And all you can do is just continue your life and wait for time to go by, which is a weird mind situation. Because you can't control it. You can't know what's going to happen. You can't know if it's going to happen tomorrow or in 3 weeks. So you just kind of have to put it on the back burner and try not to worry about it. And if you do talk to people about it, like if I talk to my mom or my friends, my family, they'd be like, oh, don't worry about that. Don't even think about that. And when people say that, it's such useless advice, because it's going to happen and you are going to think about it. And I want the women and people listening to know that if you are in that space of worrying and having anxiety about a possible miscarriage, it's okay. And that's normal. And that is what most people and women go through. And it does get better as the weeks go on. So that particular symptom I definitely found got better as the weeks went on. Like right now, I think I'm 12 weeks right now. And that is like basically gone. Like I don't worry anymore. I don't really think about it. I mean, I do know that it could still happen and it's like on my radar, but it's not nearly as what it was when I was 4 weeks and I was like, holy smokes, I'm so pregnant. Or I'm so early. And yeah, that was definitely a change in my mental health right away. I will also say that around that time, it was a lot to grasp in general. And I guess I'll talk more about that in my conception episode, but it was a lot for me to mentally wrap my head around. And as the weeks went on, and I kind of got to about week 5, my symptoms started showing up. And so this was, besides the mental health aspect of the early symptoms, this was tough to deal with. So I started getting a lot of nausea, let's say. And so this is a big topic, okay? First of all, I had really bad nausea from, let's say, 5.5, 6 weeks to about 9.5 weeks. And I actually went on medication for it. And I was sick all day. So this idea of morning sickness is total BS. I was sick all day. And what I did was I noticed it was way worse on an empty stomach. So I would eat every 2 to 3 hours. And that was such a change in my life, because as somebody who is a nutritionist and is so dialed into her health and nutrition, before I would wake up, have some sort of, you know, have water, have a coffee, go for a walk, then typically have my first meal around 10 a.m. Now, and during those really bad weeks of nausea, it was like, I'm getting out of bed to get food. That is my motivation right now. So it'd be 6:30 in the morning and I would be eating whatever I was eating. So that change in dietary pattern in food consumption was a bit of a mind. I really had to wrap my head around it because it was so different for me. And so what ended up happening was, I actually have put on weight in my first trimester because I'm pregnant and there's hormones and all of that, but I've also just eating more frequently. And that in itself, I'm going to talk about body image soon, but
introducing Glycan Age, the ultimate biological age test that helps you discover, measure, and optimize your health. With Glycan Age, understanding your body has never been simpler or more scientific. Glycan Age is more than just a number. It's a comprehensive analysis of your biological age determined by measuring chronic inflammation in your system, a direct result of your lifestyle choices. The test, which is backed by over 30 years of scientific research and validated by over 200,000 tests, gives you insights published in world-renowned medical journals. Getting started is super easy. The at-home test includes everything you need. Simply collect your sample and send it right back. And in just 3 weeks, the lab will analyze your sample and generate a detailed report on your biological age. They don't just stop there, though. Each glycan age test includes a free consultation with one of their experts. They'll help you understand your results and suggest lifestyle changes to enhance your health and longevity. Glycan age is unique. It responds to lifestyle interventions, unlike other aging clocks. Whether it's through caloric restriction or weight loss or any other healthy habit you might bring in, there are studies that show that these beneficial health changes really can make a difference in your glycan aging. Are you ready to take control of your health? You can use my code BIOHACKINGBRITNEY at checkout for a 15% off discount on your glycan age test. Discover your true biological age with glycan age and start optimizing your life today. So that was kind of like related to this idea of nausea. And when it was really bad, it was hard because, you know, you have an empty stomach, so you eat food, but then you throw the food up and then your stomach's empty again. So then you eat food and then you're like, okay, now I'm going to go on this medication. And then you take the medication with the food, but then you throw up the medication. And it was the same with my prenatals. I'm on Needed Prenatals, which I think is like one of the best on the market. And I have an affiliate code with them, Biohacking Brittany, I think, or it might just be Brittany. It's on my website. Go use it. It's the best prenatal. And I was just shocked when I would take my prenatal with food and then throw the food up. And then you worry about you not absorbing the prenatal because now it's potentially thrown up. And then you're like, oh, is the baby even getting all of the nutrients? So it was a whirlwind for a while there. I was living on the couch. I stopped exercising. I was working half days. I wasn't really active on social media as much. And that was basically all of November. And I just had to slow down. I had to slow down. Stopped walking my dog, stopped doing all of the biohacks and things that I typically do. And it was very hard for me mentally. I don't want to sugarcoat this. When I was in the trenches of nausea, I was not excited about being pregnant. And I want to be so clear on that because I think there is so much content and dialogue out there that says, oh my gosh, you're so pregnant, so exciting. Wow, you're glowing. This is such a beautiful time, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, actually being pregnant sucks. And it's really hard. And I wish that I had someone who had sat me down before trying to conceive who said, this is going to be a very difficult 9 months for you. Yes, there will be hard days and good days, but overall, it's going to be a challenge. Are you sure you want to do this right now? Because I did not think it was going to be as hard as this first trimester has been. So when I was in the trenches of nausea, it was bad and my mental health was in a really bad place. And I am fine to admit that to the point where I don't think I had prenatal depression, which is a thing. It's not just postpartum, it is prenatal. However, I think I was like borderline there. I remember thinking, I can't wait to be no longer pregnant versus I can't wait for a baby to come. I cared less about the baby coming and more about me just having my body back and not being pregnant anymore because I felt so crappy all of the time. And it was really hard. It was really hard explaining that to people. People don't really understand that. If you've been pregnant, you probably do more so. And obviously everyone's pregnancy is different. So there's that factor as well. But I think there's something to be said about women who are very healthy like myself, when you get debilitated like this, it's very hard on your mental health because you know how you thrive at 100%.
you know what you need to be doing so that your mitochondria is producing great energy, so that your microbiome is really healthy and balanced, so that you're sleeping well and getting enough exercise and getting all of the steps in and taking the supplements and eating nutrient-dense food and detoxing and cleansing. Like, it's your whole life. And when you get pregnant and have a really hard symptom like nausea, it's such a smack in the face, because what else can you do? And so I would just spend my days on the couch, and it was very, very hard. And thankfully, I have come out of that period of time. And yeah, I went on medication for it. So I was on Diclectin, and I needed something to help me function, because I was not functioning. I could not work. And so I was on it, and I tried other things as well, which I'll talk about in, you know, more of the biohacking pregnancy episode. But I did all of the things of like the C bands, the ginger, the eating, you know, balanced food, obviously, and all of these different ideas. But it was really, really difficult. And I really sympathize with all of the women who are going through that right now. I cannot imagine. Yeah. It was so hard. And even now, still, like, you know, just entering 12 weeks, I still am not 100%. Like, I threw up 2 days ago. I was throwing up all night. And now for me, my prenatal actually triggers a lot of nausea. So I have to be so smart about how I take my prenatal. So I split it up into different doses. So every time I have some food, I will have one or two with that food versus taking all eight at a time, or even six at a time. And I cannot take more than three, or I cannot take more than two at a time, because I'm scared it'll make me nauseous again. So that is one of probably the hardest symptom I've been through so far. And now that I'm not fully out of it, but I'm, you know, 75% out of it, I feel better, and my mental health is better now. So, you know, when I kind of came out of it, I was able to get excited about a baby again and create our baby registry and think about, oh, like, I get to teach my baby how to biohack and like how to eat healthy organic food and stuff like that. And that's been really nice, and it's been really good for my health. And I want to encourage you, no matter where you are in your journey, that everything is a phase. And that is what this first trimester has taught me, is everything's a phase. So when I am throwing up in the sink, I am thinking to myself, it's not always going to be like this. It will end. You know, in a couple hours, I'm going to feel better. And in a couple weeks, like, the nausea is going to get less and less, hopefully. Right. And then I think to myself, okay, a few weeks ago, I was more sick than I am now. So we have seen that this is a phase and it's getting better, and reminding myself of that. And that has been one of the key mantras and affirmations and mental health, I don't even know, words, sentences that I'm telling myself, because it's really important to have that perspective. Because I think it's easy to get into the mode of, this is my life now, right? Oh, I'm pregnant. This is my life now. This is how this is going to feel. And when I was in my like low key depressive days, I remember thinking, so I have to be pregnant for 9 months, and then I have to breastfeed for 6 months or a year, whatever I can. And I have to do all of this. What about my business? What about me? And it's really hard, because there's a lot of disparity. And, you know, with you and your partner, the man, if you're with a man, I guess, typically does way less than the woman does, because it's the woman's body that supplies the life, that creates life, then sustains the life of the baby. And so the demands of the woman are so significant. And it was really depressing for me for a little bit there, of like, wow, this is, and it was kind of seeping into that thought of, this is my life now. And I talked to my therapist about it, and we were talking about that sentence. And she said, it's so easy for new moms to get into that idea, but you have to remember that it's not, that it is a phase, and this will end. And even if you have a crying baby and it has colic, or you're not sleeping well, those months will end. It will end, and there will be a new phase of life that you go through. So that is my encouragement to you. If you are going through something difficult right now, symptom wise, it's not for forever. It's not for forever. You will feel better again.
Do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 Americans aren't. And that's a big problem because magnesium is involved in more than 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Today, I want to talk to you about the most common signs to look for that could indicate you're magnesium deficient. Listen carefully to the end because there's a special offer happening and this could be exactly what you need. Okay, here we go. Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia? Do you experience muscle cramps or twitches? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you sometimes constipated? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few of the most common ones. Now, here's what most people don't know. Taking just any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't use or absorb. That's why I exclusively recommend Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full-spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. All Bioptimizer supplements are best in class, which is why I use them. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund, no questions asked. They are so confident that they offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. Just go to bioptimizers.com/biohackingbrittany. In addition to the discount you get by using my promo code biohackingbrittany, you get gifts with your purchase. That's right. You actually get gifts. Up to 2 travel-sized bottles of Magnesium Breakthrough. So act fast. This is a limited time offer. You can go to bioptimizers.com/biohackingbrittany. Use my code. It's linked in my show notes on my website and start taking your magnesium today.
Okay, moving on from nausea, I want to get into body image in relation to that. So like I kind of said, because I was eating more, I put on weight pretty quickly. And I was really surprised by this, I guess. I guess I wasn't sure what I was expecting. I didn't think that you typically gained a lot of weight during first trimester. Some women do, some women don't. But I thought I wouldn't. And so when I started seeing my body change, it was hard. My breasts got bigger and I gained weight, you know, in my stomach area. And it was hard because you're not like cute pregnant in first trimester. You know, there's no popped belly. So there's no round, beautiful thing that you can kind of dress up and get cute maternity clothes for. And there's a bump, right? There's no bump. There's just weight gain. And so it was really hard. And it is hard for me, even right now, without a official bump, to accept that. And I weighed myself once, I think at like, I don't know, 8 weeks or something. And I think I gained 5 pounds. And I remember thinking, this is the heaviest I've ever been in my entire life. And I probably am going to gain another 25 pounds from today. And that was depressing to think about. And it's hard. It's really hard. And again, this goes back to when you're somebody who's really healthy and so aware of your body and how it functions. And on top of that, if you are a nutritionist or you're somebody who works in the health space, you're constantly thinking about health and wellness. So to see weight gain that's like just fat on your body, that is a result of you not exercising and eating more and eating not great food because you don't feel good at all. It's just like, oh, okay, I guess this is what's happening now. So again, in the beginning, when I was going through the trenches of nausea and my mental health was struggling, part of that was because my body was changing and I didn't like it. And it was out of my control. When I was so sick, even now, I don't have the best diet. And I want to be so honest on this because I've seen so many videos out there of like, this is what I ate during my first trimester. So when I was really sick, I was eating croissants, bagels, cereal, fruit, yogurt, applesauce, chicken nuggets, fries, literally all processed food. Okay. All processed food. And maybe not all, like 80%. Okay. Maybe 70%, because that's all I could stomach. There was no way I was going to get up and stand in my kitchen for an hour and make, or half an hour, and make vegetables and chicken. There was zero chance of that happening. Okay. And my partner, he works a lot. And so he tried to support as he could, but you know, essentially it was just really difficult. Like when you don't feel good, you don't want to eat good food. Like you don't want to eat super healthy. Well, I didn't. And so now I'm slowly kind of getting back to eating healthier again as I feel better. It's still not 100%. And I want to be so honest on that. And so if you're listening to this and all you can eat is McDonald's fries because you're pregnant and you're sick, I am not judging you. I know what it's like. I know what it's like. And when I talked to my midwife about this, she just said, like, you need energy. And so you eat whatever you can stomach right now. Don't worry about it. And I know pre-pregnancy Brittany would think, whoa, no, not okay. What about MSG, oils, processed food, blah, blah, blah. But it's more important to be able to get some energy into the body, some calories for you and your baby, than it is to not eat at all and be more sick. So now my diet's better. It is not even close to how clean it was before I was pregnant. Not even close. Right now, I'm doing a lot of fruit, more fruit than I usually eat, which is a lot of sugar, and I am aware of that. I eat granola with oats. Usually I don't eat oats. And I'm eating grass-fed yogurt, which is, I'm somewhat okay with that. But before pregnancy, I was not eating dairy, really. I was eating goat cheese, you know, goat butter, normal butter sometimes, but never cow yogurt, like never cow-based yogurt. Now, oh my gosh, I eat yogurt twice a day. And it's grass-fed and it's really good. And I am eating some of the ones with fruit in it. So now I'm slowly getting back to like only eating the plain one without any fruit added. The brand I use is pretty good. They sweeten it with honey and fruit. But I'm trying to kind of like get back to a level of like lower sugar tolerance or sugar consumption. You know, because I know what that does for my blood sugar. And I know that we really want to try to stay balanced and things like that. But at the same time, I am respecting, again, what my body needs. So yeah, so right now it's like fruit, granola, yogurt, grass-fed yogurt, a lot of kefir. The kefir is coconut-based, so that is not dairy. And I do plain kefir, vanilla, and raspberry, so I switch it up. Kind of eggs. I was turned off of eggs for a while for the texture, but if it's combined with something else, I can eat it. And I will do a full pregnancy nutrition episode because just as a little preview, I have not followed the typical pregnancy dietary guidelines. Some of them I think are BS. So stay tuned for that episode because some of it is just outdated. And I also feel like I know better as a nutritionist and as someone who just does their own research. So I am doing that. I'm doing sourdough bread. I had a bagel at lunch today, sprouted grain bagel, organic with goat cheese on it. Again, like I'm just being super honest here. It's not perfect. It's not great. And that's fine. Again, with how I'm feeling, I'm working full time. I'm trying to do my best and I'm slowly kind of getting back to how I was. So I'm also doing, what am I also eating? I am eating meat, but it has to be with something else. Like, I think because there's so much fatigue and tiredness and you're not supposed to be drinking as much coffee and caffeine. And when you're throwing up, like, and you have nausea, you want to just have that quick energy. And that's why when I was really sick, it was so much processed food and fruit and stuff like that, because it was quick energy. And then obviously you crash again, but that's what my body was like looking for. So now that things are getting better, I understand that. And I'm trying to balance things. So you'll, like, when you're listening to this, you could hear a lot of like healthy fat in things, you know, between cheese and yogurt. Nut butters is another thing that I'm doing, and bone broth and meat as well. But it's like in a very five-year-old way. Like, part of me feels like I'm eating like a five-year-old. I will have like grass-fed organic ground beef, but it'll be with grain-free macaroni and cheese. And then I'm like, oh yeah, I'll eat that. But if you were just to put like some beef in front of me, I'd be like, no, I'm okay, thanks. Like, sayonara. So it's the mental aspect of this. I cannot emphasize more. It is so hard for me to be like, it's okay to eat this way. It's okay. And it's not eating for two, because eating for two is debunked and that's a myth and that's not what you're doing. You're technically eating for like 1.1, and that's how much you're supposed to like increase your caloric intake by. It's a little bit more in third trimester, but basically that's it. And so I'm not in this mode of overconsumption. I'm not eating massive portions of food and I'm like, you know, garbage truck, I can just keep going. I have like really small portions of things. And when I'm full, I stop eating. It's just that I'm eating every 2 to 3 hours. And yeah, that's what I'll say. I know everyone's experience is different, so I just want to shed light on that. And one tip that actually has really helped me with this whole navigating more food thing is I'm really good at stopping to eat when I feel full, regardless of what's on my plate. And this is a muscle that I have exercised my entire life, but more so when I became a nutritionist and understood the role that food plays and how the hormones and how that all works. So I think it's in Japanese culture, they actually stop eating when they're 80% full, because you don't fully feel 100% full until about a half an hour later. So you need that time to feel like your stomach is full. So right now, like, for example, before this podcast episode, I chopped up an apple and a pear and peanut butter. And I'm looking at over half of it that's left in the bowl, because I ate some of it and I was like, no, I'm full. I'm like ready to go. And then by the time I'm done this and everything else I have to do for the next little bit, I will eat the rest of it. So it's just this idea of you don't have to finish what's on your plate. I think that's jargon, and I definitely will not be teaching my kids that. It's if you're full, you're full and you can stop eating. I don't care if there's one piece of asparagus left on your plate. If you're full, you don't have to eat it. Please respect your body in that way. So that's kind of what I've been able to focus on. Okay, moving forward. I've talked a lot about mood, mental health, nausea, food. I talked about the lack of exercise I'm doing. Now I'm exercising again, trying to walk my dog every day, every other day, and trying to do 1 to 2 weighted workouts a week. And the workouts that I'm doing are for pregnancy. So I use the Sweat app. They have a pregnancy program on there. I'm following the one that's weighted, and the weights I'm using are very light. So like 15 pounds, 10 pounds. And that has been really great. And I feel so proud of myself every time I work out, because I know my body isn't doing what it normally does. And I know it's different. And so for me to have the energy to work out, I feel so proud of myself every time. And that definitely leads into fatigue. The fatigue is real. It is not fatigue. It is exhaustion. So, for example, last night I slept 10 hours and today I want to take a nap right now. And it's mid-afternoon and I haven't exercised today because I haven't had time. So the exhaustion is really, really real. And you just feel the wave of it come on your body. Like, you feel like you're yawning, you're not paying attention. You're like staring at the screen while you're working. You're like, oh my gosh, like, what am I even doing? It's only 2:30. I need to go to bed right now. And I've been experimenting with naps, trying to figure out what's working, what's not working. And it's been hard because sometimes I nap and I feel great after. And then sometimes I nap and I actually feel more tired. And I don't know necessarily why that is. I think it might be due to how much time I'm sleeping. I might be sleeping too long. So I'm really trying to still dial in the nap game. If you have any recommendations and you're listening to this, send it to me because I probably will still need them by that time. But exhaustion's real. I go to bed really, really early and like lights out before 9. I wake up around 6 to 7. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. So my workouts kind of reflect my energy. So that's why it's like walks and 2 workouts a week. If that, sometimes it's only 1 right now. I'm really hoping that I get that second trimester energy boost. I am banking on it so hard. Okay. I really need it. I really want to have a few months of working out and doing the things and going hard in my business before I have to take time off and stuff like that. And I really, really hope that happens because I miss running at 100 miles an hour. I'm not going to lie. I really do. And I had no idea. I don't know. Like, I guess I knew, but looking back already, I'm like, wow. Okay. So I would work full time, sometimes more than full time, and work on the weekends. So let's say I would on like work 40 to 60 hours a week, maybe more, sometimes during the year, maybe more. Then on top of that, I would exercise every single day, sometimes twice a day, and then make healthy food every time, all the time, not eat any processed food, not eat any Uber Eats. And then I would do stuff on the weekends and it's like, wow, I really want to go back to that. But I understand that that's not possible fully right now. And I have accepted that. And yeah, I just think it's important to acknowledge that. Other changes that I've had have included my skin changing. So I am definitely producing more oil than normal on my face. So I've had to completely change the products I'm using. If you've been listening for a long time, you know that I completely detoxed my home from a lot of my products in the summer, and I was using basically nothing. And then when I got pregnant, I noticed an increase in oil. And so now I do wash my face with a cleanser every night. And I do use a different serum and moisturizer because I have to. And with everything else going on with being pregnant, I am using clean products, but I'm definitely not in that headspace of, oh, I'll just let my skin balance itself and I'm not going to use anything and it'll be fine, which is what I did in the summer of like going no products and letting my skin do everything that it wanted to do. Because I am dealing with enough and the last thing I need to deal with is like a very uneven skin texture and things like that. And so because I was producing more oil, I had an increase in acne and just like a few pimples here and there. Now it seems like it's dialed down a little bit, which I think is helpful. And that might be because of my products or that might be because the hormones are changing as the weeks go by. One thing I do want to say that I wish somebody told me is that this is my last point about the nausea. I should have said this earlier, but if you are somebody who is experiencing a lot of nausea, a lot of it can be related to very high HCG levels. And HCG is the pregnancy hormone. And there have been studies done that have linked high HCG levels with a lower chance of miscarriage and a healthier birth and healthier pregnancy and healthier birth outcomes. So when I read that and found that out, that is kind of what was my guiding light through the depths of nausea, because I thought to myself, wow, my body's producing so much HCG. It's doing a great job. This is the side effect from that. But that means that there's less chance of me going through a miscarriage. I'm going to have a healthier birth, etc. So that's kind of one big positive thing I was always telling myself. And it also helped my mental health in relation to miscarriages. Because I felt so pregnant every single day, I was like, I really don't think I'm going to have a miscarriage because my hormones are shooting through the roof. I'm having these symptoms. I definitely feel pregnant. And so it was helpful for me. And in the beginning, when you get tested, so you find out you're pregnant, you do at-home tests. Then you have to do 3 blood tests. This is how it is in Canada. I don't know how it is in other places, but you do 3 blood tests within a 2-week span to track those HCG levels. And they should be increasing by a specific amount. I think it's like it doubles every day and then it triples every day, something like that. And so mine by the 3rd test was very high. And so they're like, yeah, you're definitely pregnant. Like, yeah. So even at that point, I knew my levels were high. So that is a little bit of a saving grace if you're in that space. And that leads me to the next thing I want to talk about is finding my care providers. I think I will probably talk about this in the biohacking pregnancy first trimester episode, because this is a big, not biohack, but really the thing that can help you during this time. So I opted for a midwife over an OB, and I applied to multiple midwives because I want to have a home birth. Now, who knows how that's going to end up happening, but want to have a home birth. And so I want a midwife. And even if I didn't want a home birth, I would want a midwife. I want somebody who is going to be more involved, more caring, more there during pregnancy and postpartum. And I just think that there's something to be said about having someone dedicated to you versus here you would have an OB, you would have like a doctor. And then once you go into labor, you would go to the hospital and whatever doctor is on staff is the doctor that would deliver your baby. Versus when you have a midwife, the midwife will come to the hospital and support you. And so you already have that established relationship. Or if you have a home birth, they can deliver the baby at home for you. They are medical professionals. So that has been great. Now we have currently 2 midwives because we are debating moving, which I think we will be moving. And so I have one here and I have one in our new location. And the one in our new location is infinitely better than the one that we have here, unfortunately. But if we're going to move, it will work out. And so I would really encourage you to get a midwife and apply early. I applied for midwives or contacted them in week 5. And so many turned me down and said, no, we're full for July. Sorry, we can't, we're full. And then when you want a home birth midwife, the options that you have go from 10 to 3. So really, really do it early. I would do it as soon as you find out you're pregnant. If you're 3 weeks, do it. I wish I had done it earlier. And that is my recommendation. I also am interviewing doulas right now, which has been an interesting process. So midwives in Canada are covered by health insurance. Doulas are out of pocket. And a doula will be more of a birth assistant who will be there for the entire birthing process and comes once or twice postpartum and will meet with you during your prenatal visits as well. And the reason for the doula is that for me, as somebody who would like to do a home birth, I think it's important to have more people at the home birth. So with the midwife to the place that we're moving, she comes and then she brings her backup midwife because there's one assigned to you and one assigned to the baby. And then there would be a doula. So I would have 3 professionals. 2 of them are medical professionals. A doula is I'm not sure what they're classified as, maybe health professional, but they're not medical. So they are like, they actually, you can deliver with just a doula, but they're not the types of people who would make the call of, hey, I think we need to go to the hospital, or hey, I've noticed that you're dilating at this and this is what that means. Like, they're not the people who call those shots necessarily. So I would recommend getting both if you can. And that's what we're going to do, just to have as much support as I think is needed, especially for your first birth and your first baby. I definitely will talk about the books that I've read that have been very helpful in my biohacking episode, as well as prenatal classes and resources. There are some great things that I've been doing that I will definitely talk about in that episode that have really helped me. I can just mention the one right now. When I first found out I was pregnant, I was very overwhelmed and very overwhelmed. Like, I don't even know how to say it. I'm very surprised and didn't know what to do. It's kind of this sense of like, I'm pregnant, now what thing. We don't have a family doctor, so it's not like I could just call somebody up and be like, hey, what am I supposed to do? And so I got this book called, I think it's called The Mama Natural Guide to Pregnancy and Baby. And Mama Natural is a health professional, I don't know, figure in the space. She's big on Instagram. She has a podcast. I think she has a podcast. Actually, she might not. But she's on Instagram and she has this book. And the book's phenomenal. Goes through week by week what you're going to experience and gives you all of the recommendations based on a natural approach to things, which I really love. So it's a lot of like, hey, you could do this test, but there could be repercussions from that test. And let's talk about that. So you're well versed in this, like stuff like that, or different supplements and food, there's recipes in there. It's just such a great resource. And when I got that book and I started reading all the weeks, that was really what helped me understand what was happening. And it made me feel very grounded. And it's just such a great resource. It's a big book and I really, really recommend it. The other parts, I guess, that has been interesting is like telling people. Right now, our close friends know and our family knows. And that's about it. I don't know when I will announce it. And I think everybody does it differently. And I think that is totally fine. There's no perfect time to announce it. Some people wait until second trimester. Some people announce it right away because they don't think there should be stigma around miscarriage. I personally don't know when I will announce it. We will have to see how that goes. And I also am releasing my Baby Steps preconception health course. And I want to be mindful of that and release the information all kind of at the same time about how I think, how I recommend you detox and cleanse to get pregnant right away and have a successful pregnancy to full term and have a healthy birth and prenatal or postpartum experience. So that is what I'm working on right now. And it'll be interesting. By the time this episode comes out, it definitely should be published. My course should be out. So if you're interested in that, go take a look at it on my website. But I think that's it in terms of how I've been experiencing first trimester. I'm trying to think what else. My sleep has been pretty good. I wake up in the middle of the night to eat. Again, that goes back to having an empty stomach. So I was eating a banana in the middle of the night for a while every night. Now I've switched to yogurt. And that's just because my baby wants food. And I think it's hard because you really do have this fetus that is sucking everything out of you at all times, 24/7. All of the time, your physical health, your mental health, your energy, your food, your nutrients, all of it. And man, I had no idea it would be so draining, so incredibly draining. So kudos to every single woman who has ever had a baby because it's so hard. And I just have so much respect, so much respect. And I'm really excited about the journey ahead and how second trimester goes and third trimester. And if we move, my course coming out postpartum and going through postpartum and breastfeeding and also, you know, navigating the whole getting my body back and all of that body image BS. And man, I'm going to have so much content. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. And I really just love this like community of healthy women and healthy mamas and mamas to be that is starting to cultivate, because there is not a lot of people talking about biohacking pregnancy at all, or preconception or conception or postpartum, none of it. You know, it's just like, there's not a lot of people talking about it. And I'm just so excited to be able to share honestly with you how I'm doing with things. So those are basically my symptoms. Other things, I guess, would be libido. Libido has been probably a bit lower. But I think that's in relation to not feeling good. When you don't feel good, you don't really want to have sex, right? Like you just kind of are like, meh. And then also when I was first experiencing body changes, you know, you don't necessarily want to be naked in front of people because now you're feeling maybe not more insecure, but maybe more insecure or just unsure of your new body and how it moves and what it looks like. And so it's this like new way to kind of understand things. But my husband and I are having sex. I know like some people don't have sex during their entire pregnancy. Some people don't do it during first trimester because they are worried of damage and things like that. I think that's been misproven. So I'm not following that personally. But it's definitely not as frequently as it used to be. And that is totally okay. And we have very open communication about it. And I don't want there to be any resentment or harped feelings or miscommunications or expectations that aren't accurate between us. So we definitely talk about that. And I really encourage you to talk about it no matter which way you are. If you are wanting to have more sex, talk about it. If you don't want to have sex because you're not comfortable with it, then you also need to talk about it. For example, a friend of mine, her and her fiance have not had sex her entire pregnancy. She's not interested. She's 0% interest, like nothing. And they kind of joke about it, but I know that it bothers him. And he has like said to me and my husband, like how it's bothering him and stuff. And I'm like, okay, you guys should talk about this. Don't talk to us about it, you know? So kind of try to avoid that type of thing and have open dialogue if you can. But that's about it. And so stay tuned for my other episodes that come out around this topic. And definitely listen to my episode. I don't know when it will be out, but you can message me on Instagram. Even if I'm on mat leave, I'll be on Instagram and message me or TikTok and ask me for it and I'll send it to you. And that will be all of the biohacks and the tips and tricks and things to do to kind of make it easier and products to get and stuff like that that I've used. So thank you for listening and I will catch you soon for another episode. Thanks for listening to another episode of Biohacking with Brittany. If you're interested in finding the show notes or the sponsors for this episode, you can do so on my website, which is biohackingbrittany.com. Remember to follow me on Instagram where I'm most active. My handle is @biohackingbrittany. And if you're interested in working together and you want to email me directly, you can do that. My email is info@biohackingbrittany.com. And I look forward to hearing from you and having you tune in next week.